I'm going to do some Bible real quick, okay? And I've spent some time on this in years past and pounded this, and I've used some of this in some conferences I've spoken at and that kind of thing. But there are three things here, three easy things that for you to remember. And when you read Psalm 2, you find out what's going on. And that drives you to Joel 2. Because we need to pray. And the result of that is Acts 2, an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Are we done? Pretty close. But Acts chapter 2, this is one of those powerful things. I want to pay homage to my friend David Roos, who wrote a wonderful song out of Psalm 2. And I think about it anytime I read it. But why do the heathens rage? The Bible says it this way in New American Standard. Acts chapter 2, why are the nations in an uproar and the peoples devising a vain thing? That happens all the time, all over the globe. The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. Well, what's the Lord doing putting fetters and cords on people? Well, we'll see in a minute. That's not really exactly what's happening. But he who sits in the heavens laughs. Laughs. God listens to what they're saying and going, that's what you got? That's all you got? He laughs and then he scoffs and says, then he will speak to them in his anger and terrify them in his fury. So there's an anger and fury thing out there. There really is. Second coming isn't just about being raptured. There's another side of it. He who sits in the heavens laughs, the Lord scoffs at them. Then he will speak to them in his anger and terrify them in his fury, saying this, but as for me, in response to your rebellious thoughts, as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. And he said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will surely give you the nations as your inheritance, the very ends of the earth as your possession. So it makes sense to be involved in the nations. And I would tell you, there are times when I've been in Estonia. I thought this may be the farthest place from anywhere in the world. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall shatter them like earthenware. Now, therefore, O kings, show discernment. Wake up. Take warning, O judges of the earth. Worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling. Do homage to the Son, that he may not become angry and you perish in the way, and the wrath that may soon be kindled. How blessed are all those who take refuge in him. So this is about touching the nations with the reality of who Jesus is and what he's done and what's going to happen if they remind themselves constantly, we got to get away from here. We don't want to be done. We don't want the principles and the platitudes, if I can say it, of the word of God to govern us. To heck with that. We want to do what we want to do. And he said, you ought to really be a little more discerning than that. You need to wake up and recognize that's not the case. And of course, we being the church are the instruments that help recognize and awaken, hey guys, there's something going on here. So this global rebellion against God, and I don't know, of course, technology has changed this, but we're in a time where there's this stuff all over the world, ungodly government and persecution and wars and you name it. I mean, I don't get into politics very much because I'm way too opinionated. I have way much to say, so I just keep my mouth shut most of the time. But and this is like, oh yeah, now you're going to tell me it was back in the day and it was cold and you had to walk 9 miles uphill in the snow. I get it. No. But think about this. all across the land, and I'm just talking about our country, we have people who are radical socialists and or communists trying to get elected as mayors and governors and senators. When I was a child, you know, Lincoln was president. Okay, I got it. But socialism was a dirty word. And communist was like what everybody feared and hated and wouldn't have anything to do with. And now people who are self-acclaimed that way have an opportunity to get elected. I just think, you know, it used to be when we were kids, we talked about what was going to happen, you know, and I became a Christian when I was in my early 20s, and people said, what's going to happen? Well, either New York or California is just going to fall off into the sea because of all of the crummy stuff going on. And I thought, you know, perhaps. You see what's happening there. It's crazy. And that's just here. But the things that are different, and I think this is true from a evangelistic point of view, and it's true from a political point of view, what's going on is going on all over the world. I think that's the most different thing that I'm looking for in a move of God, is that it's not just in, you know, Toronto or Ireland or... No, it's global, all over the place. People say, well, the harvest is the end of the age. What does that mean? To me, that means the end of the age is going to be an ingathering of people to turn and return to the Lord as we've never seen it before. Well, we've never seen it happen globally. Not necessarily at the same time, but like everywhere. And now, because of technologies and stuff like that, we can know those kinds of things and see those kinds of things. I think that's really the deal. So the deal here that we're looking at today is you go to the nations. You know what happens? Those people become our neighbors. They're close to us. We stay in touch with them during the year, that kind of thing. All evangelism isn't about the nations, but it's also about our neighbors. And so we make neighbors of the nations, and then we realize, I'm not looking at anybody. It's not that I don't like you, but I'm just not trying to, don't want anybody to feel blamed. But I don't know about you. I don't know my neighbors very well. Do you? Maybe you do. Maybe you've lived in the same house for a long, long time, and everybody knows everybody. When I was a kid, Lincoln again, but anyway, a long time ago, people sat on their front porch. And you talk to them, see them across the street. You know, I was the paper boy, so I knew everybody. Didn't help me because everybody would call my mother and tell me what I was doing. But But now people drive in and garage goes down, and they sit on the back porch or on the deck where they see nobody. I mean, I know my next door neighbor, Teresa, and she's a nice Catholic lady. And I move her trash thing for her in and out and stuff like that. That's it. I don't know any of the other people I live around. Now, in the neighborhood where I am, people seem to come and go pretty quickly. So it's a little more difficult to have that. But I don't have children in school, so I don't have that. I don't have anybody playing on soccer teams, you know, that kind of stuff. So, but it's hard to have neighbors. You know what? It's hard to be a neighbor. Isn't it? Yeah. Because we're doing a lot of stuff. And sometimes you just want to not do stuff. It's hard to invest in people, but we have to live this life out before people. Now, it's not Halloween, you don't just go knock on their door, but you can pray for people right where they are. That doesn't mean you are necessarily praying with them, but we're praying for them. Why? Because heaven and hell are real. Acts 2 is a pretty good explanation of that. There is a time coming when, oh man, you don't want to be in rebellion against God. You don't. Well, what do you think will happen? Oh, I've just been reading it to you. Anger, wrath. I mean, there's a time where when he comes back, it's not all rosy. It may be for those who are believers. It's a different situation depending on what you believe and think about all those things. And I'm not going to cover that right now. I just want you to know because there is a situation that happens in Acts chapter 2 that makes heaven and hell very important. And I love how some of the versions of the Bible say it this way. Hey, you guys need to get on with it. You need to recognize what's going on and quit being in a rebellious attitude. Have reverence for and kiss the Son. Kiss the Son of God. We just did this morning. Jesus, I love you. Huh? She didn't know I was going to do this either, so that was a good song. So the issue is here. We have to recognize what's real and what the possibilities are for us. So I'll do this in a couple of minutes. What's going to happen? The nations are raging, uproaring against God. We don't want there to be a God. We don't believe that there's a Jesus. We don't believe in a resurrection. We don't believe in any salvation. And there are non-theistic religions all over the place that do not trust in or believe in God at all. And as a matter of fact, are quite opposed. That's why it's important to get into the nations. The nations that we're talking about today, all were under either German or Soviet or both rules. And as non-godly as you can be, when we first went to Estonia, I got some research from MTV. Yeah, that's what I thought too. But had a chance to listen to somebody when they brought MTV, this has been 20 years ago, into the Baltics. Never been there before. And the people from MTV did this whole European Union thing, going to all the different countries, doing surveys and that kind of stuff so they could figure out what's the best targeting for people so we can sell products and do all that kind of stuff. And out of all of the European Union, they pulled the Estonia apart and had to do a totally different way of approaching them because they were so much more godless than any of the other Eastern European countries. Now listen, if MTV says these guys are bad, you can write that one down and take it to the bank. And because I found that out and I tried to get on MTV. I tried to get us on MTV. And they didn't think that was a good idea. But I did. I thought, well, hey, we could be the other guys, you know. So there's an alarm blown in Joel chapter 2. And I'm just going to touch it. He's saying, listen, blow a trumpet in Zion. Stop doing what you're doing. If you're getting married, slow down. Put it off. Come and pray. Come and pray. Come and pray. It's a gathering thing. It's a joining thing that this trumpet would blow. And people would hear it, and they would assemble. And the Lord says, I'm going to do something, and it's going to be great and mighty as something that nobody's ever seen or will ever see after it. So there really is something happening. Something's going on. He's talking about the day of the Lord. He's talking about the coming, Jesus coming back. And oh my gosh, this is a big deal. We need to pray this in. Why? Because heaven and hell are real. And we've talked about this. I think earlier this year I was preaching on hell one day and then heaven the next day, so we say, yeah, these are both real. They're both real. And we are to be the ambassadors of the gospel that gets people out of that. Because when it happens, it's too late. It's too late. And so we need to be praying for people, even if we can't be praying with people. And then we need to be the representation, the representation of who Jesus is. And I've had some talks with the elders here, and I want to be living up to this stuff. I want these things to be a reality in us. That's why I talk about healing and deliverance and those things all the time, because people need the Lord. People need the Lord. It's not, well, it'd be a nice thing. No, this is like essential that they would need the Lord. And so Joel's standing up saying, guys, this is going to happen. And it'll be unlike anything you've ever seen. So blow the trumpet, gather the people, pray in heaven. And when he's talking about that, he's talking about Acts chapter 2, when they were together, 50 people, to, you know, maybe more than that, maybe 500, but gathered together waiting to see something happen, asking the Lord to do what you want to do. Come and do. Come and do in us. Come and do through us. Come and do among us. And what happened? Fire, wind. Like say, I wish I had no hair up here because there had been fire on my head. But I want it in my heart so it can come out my hands and come out my mouth, come out my touch. Huh? And he says, what did we do? They're together praying. They're praying for something like Joel prophesied to happen in their day. There's hundreds and hundreds of years difference in time here. Are you with me? And why? Because the nations are still in rebellion against the Lord. Huh? And so what are we going to do? We're going to be reverent. We're going to kiss the sun. We're going to look for his heart and say, do it here, do it here, do it here. And I love what John Wimber said. John Wimber, you know, is kind of the father of the Vineyard movement. And they had more stuff going on. They had newspaper people and following him all the time because people were crazy things. People were getting healed, a bunch of stuff. And he said, well, this has been going on in your church. What if it was going on somewhere else? And it wasn't going on in your church anymore. And he said, then I'd just run to get under the rain of where it was raining. What a really good answer, right? Well, does it have to start with us? No, just don't leave us out. We want to be part of this body of Christ. It's the kingdom of God. And, you know, we're going to have to love some people we don't even like very well. Huh? But most of the reason you don't like them is because you don't love them. If you start loving them, you'll end up liking some of them. And they may end up liking you. But we need this, the gathering together. We need this one idea that the Lord wants to bring. If this is the end of the age, not, you know, this is what I say, I'm from Iowa. The harvest is the end of the age. I don't know much about the end of the age, but I lived through harvest after harvest after harvest. Let's talk about, let's concentrate on harvest. And this is the end of the age, we'll be right where we need to be. Huh? So that's a corporate thing, corporate in the sense all of us. It's a corporate thing, church in our area, church in Kansas City, church in the United States. But it's bigger than that. It's the church among us, in the world, all over the place. There are some places right now in other countries that are having a move of God that's crazy good. People getting... when this has happened in this was Brazil, I believe, but happening in a lot of the Spanish-speaking countries and that kind of stuff, they had people getting their teeth healed and filled. You had to have at least two fillings supernatural or you couldn't testify because so many people were having it happen. Yeah. I said, okay, don't want to be a dentist there, but yes. The thing is, we're supposed to have this, and it's in your notes. I'm just flying on this so I can get done quick. The things that are, Jesus said it this way. It was said of Jesus that he presented himself alive by many convincing proofs. Whew, I love that. Well, what does that mean? Well, he expressed his power, his authority, his love, his compassion, his justice, his righteousness, just like that. And now we're supposed to be those who do the same thing. And that's why we have to keep our eye on the supernatural naturalness of the life of Christ. He didn't wake up and say, well, I better be holy today. He just woke up and was. Are you with me? Yeah. And lots and lots and lots of people got healed and saved, delivered, because he was just expressing his life. Well, it's his life that is now in each of us. Huh? Yeah. Well, how does that work? It's supposed to be better than it does. I honestly believe touching the nations, like we've just seen an expression of, is a means of him extending his heart and his values to us, where people over there, and over there could be anywhere. You say it might be on Oak Street, you know, but people outside of us who don't have or know the Lord would treasure to have what they find in the scriptures, and what they find in the scriptures are supposed to be found among us. I'm not chewing anybody out. I'm really not. I'm just saying. Psalm 2. Why do the heathens rage? And why do people come up with all these crazy, vain, empty ideas? That's part of the trouble with the world. It's so full of the emptiness of what people come up with as ways to do things that they're full of emptiness and have grown to be satisfied with it because they don't know there's anything different. We got to be different. We have to be, the Bible says, a peculiar people. That doesn't mean weird. We have fulfilled. I guarantee you, people from other countries turn on Christian TV, some of them say, huh? What are they doing over there? Who are these people? Well, that's just kind of, that was funny, really. I'm sorry you missed it. But there is an expression of the life of God that he's looking to have to be real in us as a people. And sometimes it's, you know, my wife reminded me of this again yesterday. She said, God loves introverts too. So it's not about just being explosive and expressive. They need that one. That's what we need. But we need that 24/7 rhythm of walking with him, listening to him, obeying him. I'm going to do this again. I just did this in a prayer meeting not too long ago. There are places in the Bible, boy, do I want to do this? Yeah, I don't take 2 minutes. Where be filled with the Holy Spirit, it's a command. Ephesians 5, it's a command. It's not a suggestion, it's a command. Don't be silly. Recognize what the will of God is. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Huh? Filled. But there are also times when the Bible describes Jesus and others as full of the Holy Spirit. Keep on continuously being filled, is what it says. What's the result of that? Fullness. Fullness. Jesus came out of the desert, you know, 40 days, boom, full of the Holy Spirit. When they selected the first deacons in the Bible, you know what it says? I want you to get guys that got their families in order. I want you to get guys that know me and are full of the Holy Spirit, not filled. Does that mean something? I kind of think it might. Well, why would it say it that way? Because it's the expression of being filled that releases the fullness. That's your cup running over, if I can say it that way. I'll come back and do this and give you the words, you know, the verses and everything. But I think that's kind of a church living full is people constantly being filled, and people then getting splashed on by the overflow, their lives getting changed. It's like the gentleman that decided maybe after 36 years I shouldn't leave my wife. And he makes a step. Now, he's got some other yeses to give and some steps to make. But that's a pretty cool thing. What is that? That's the power of God. That's just the expression of God. I ran into a guy here just in the last week or two. He was a druggie and selling dope and stuff like that. Man, something happened to this guy. He's serving the Lord, walking with the Lord. You know, new wife, new family, and you wouldn't even know him. I mean, he says, I bet you don't even know who I am. And I said, yeah, I do. Don't know if I want to. And they just poured it all out. It's great. Just awesome. And it's just the handwriting of the Lord. But some people got a hold of him. So we need to be some of those people that get hold of people. Well, what do we do with them? Well, drag them in here. I mean, I heard Pastor Kelly say it this way. It was pretty funny, I thought. He said, some of you people, he said it pretty sternly, need to get your kids on drugs. And they need to be drugged right into this church. Well, it's bad English, but it's pretty good. Acts chapter 2 was the result of prayer coming from Joel chapter 2 because of what's happening according to Psalm chapter 2. Are we good? So I want you to know, going to the nations is a really good idea. And we felt like the Lord's given us it, but I mean, it's hard for me to stay. The Lord told me, He gave me this. I have a place there. He told me, I've made a place for you there. And I thought, why? This is like 15 years ago. And I said, okay, so not going is hard. But it's also our place there. Yeah, are you with me? And so that means he's got results. He's got connections. Some of the things have been proving out that can last and will last for a long time. Can be generational now, which is really. But we have to have does going mean it's that I'm better than not going? No, you need to hear the Lord and do what He says. Yeah, I mean, now I had to hear to stay. Be honest with you, and I'm pretty slow when I don't want to do it. No, but it was easy. It was easy. It was better for her Kathy, than I'd be here today. So, didn't. But I cheated. I didn't go into most of the calls or anything like that for the planning or anything like that because I get so wrapped up and involved in it. Then I said, Steph and Trace could do that. And God bless you for doing it. Had to happen. Somebody had to do that. Well, but see, it happened and it happened now. There's a pretty big T on this team of working together, caring about each other, praying for each other. That's a wonderful thing. And I think over the years, we've had about 45 different people go in different teams, which is pretty good because it's not the only place that we've gone and everything. But that's kind of our window. That's kind of our target is the Baltics and Estonia first in my mind. Well, that's great. Now we have a platform. We're just not thrown to the wild here. We have an idea. We have some people. We have vineyard churches that we can work with. We have non-vineyard churches that we work with. There's something good going on. But I want you to know, part of it is because we've really prayed about this over the years. And I'm looking for something to happen there that you can't explain any way, but the Lord showed up. And I wouldn't trade it. I mean, there have been some great things that have happened there. But I'm telling you, because of Psalm 2 being real, we need to make something happen. We need to get to do it. So, Lord, thank you for being with us. Thank you for Jovanus and the churches in Lithuania. Thank you for what's going on with Kuzan and Clarine. They're opening a house church next in a little town close to where their church is now, starting something else. And we thank you for Anthony, Lord, in Estonia, long-term commitment. Thank you for Laura. Thank you for the team that is his family. And now, Lord, we ask for you to visit them in ways that they would be as real as our people having been there. That kind of visitation. Holy Spirit, would you birth new prayer rooms in those three places? One of the things that's been so hard has been to establish intercession. And I pray that the people that live in those countries that touch these people and see them every day, Lord, I'm praying for a spirit of grace and supplication to rest on them, that when people have visited here recently, looking at the church and that kind of stuff, a number of them come to me and said, oh, You guys pray. I felt it when I came in the door. I mean, just that's happened a number of times. I just said, Lord, would you cause a spirit of prayer to land on those three countries and those three leadership groups? And would you cause us to be faithful in our intercession and prayers for them? Lord, we want to be synchronized with you. And let's put that little Psalm 2, Joel 2, Acts 2. We really want to see the Acts 2, but we need to recognize the reality and the expression of the others. Come, Lord. And cause us, like the team said today, hear what I'm saying and do it with me. Lord, we bless you. Thank you for, I think, what Caleb said, ordinary people. Wow, we're all targets. But you're an extraordinary God.
Yes.
Have your way. Have your way. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I think that's how we're going to stop today. Okay? Are we good? You know what? You have my permission to hug anybody that was on the team. See you on Wednesday.